Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage. Online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah. Online at stirringdirtracing.com.
Reckless Abandoned Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good. Nice job. You caught me sleeping. Episode number 183 on deck. We're going to be catching up with a bunch of the personalities from up at that Mandan Team Derby that we're flying out to on Friday. Excited to be going out there. Excited to have everybody along with us. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, whenever you might be tuning in. Kings of Old School wrapped up this weekend. That was a good show. Old Iron main event wrapped up. Well, team main event, I guess, is probably a better way to say it. Wrapped up with a bunch of Lincolns just teeing off on one another, and who can argue with that? Mike Klinger almost expectedly coming away with the win in that one against runner-up being going to the one and only Rick Clark. Good run for both of those guys over there at Whitney Point. We're going to be talking with Zach Ponzer. We were going to talk to Dustin Anderson, but Dustin Anderson, and we had a bunch of people this week messaging, trying to arrange a way to get on the show. We had already mapped out somewhat of a schedule, and Dustin has helped us get a hold of another guest. So we're going to be talking with Zach Ponzer tonight, one of the defending champions of the show. We're going to be talking with Rob Golden, who's coming out with Team Off constantly, and we're going to be talking with Jeremy Guthmiller as well in the middle of the show. So it's shaping up to be a good one. I'm excited about it. Once again, welcome to everybody that's tuning in episode 183. Hopefully that number's right. A lot of times I'll talk about the number. The episodes where I talk about the number a lot ends up being the one we're off by one. It turns into a lost episode.
We've done a bunch of them. Just keep watching. There's more to come.
Yeah. It's
I just actually heard from Brett. And Klinger's team won. Guy Raymond won the 1-1 run and done compact. Ken Harvey won the V8 one run. Klinger, Munch, Bolt, Vona, King, Henderson must have won. The Klinger, Munch, Bolt team, I think, won the team show.
Must have been the team show, yeah.
Vona, King, Henderson won the compact team show. Yep. And Gully. And
Henderson's not doing too bad so far.
No, not bad.
A couple weeks in a row.
Gully's team with Gully.
George Hackett.
Yep.
And Eberling.
Yes. Won the truck mm-hmm. team show.
Double D's did okay.
Yeah, Double D's did okay. Klinger's not having a bad season so far.
No. No.
They did okay in Ohio. They did okay in New York. So
many Lincolns lay dead in their wake.
Yeah. I think he's starting to get them Lincolns figured out.
Yeah, he does okay.
I think he does okay with those.
Kind of like he did those subframe Mopars for a while and the old iron Galaxies. He did okay with those for a spell too.
Yep, yep. Though, you know, I mean, he did get beat by a Cadillac technically in Ohio. Just, you know.
I think that's happened twice.
I think it has.
Yep.
And, of course, you know, Tiffany, she is a great builder, great driver. They put on a hell of a show. I actually watched that. I was surfing some YouTube and up that pop, so I watched it. And, man, there was some. Because we stood down at the end of the track, and this was kind of in the middle. Holy cow, was there some just incredible shots. I love that class. That is mm-hmm. just.
Christy, we hit on this last week, but Christy King was talking a little bit about how cool that was. It's like, oh, it was so awesome watching all this. It's like, that's a county fair home. That's like, people don't realize how in this area how fortunate we are to have what we've got. You know, they might not be
pretty hard.
They might not be eat off the frame black pristine cars like what we saw out there in Ohio, but
they drive junk hard.
They drive them like they they drive them like they
drive junk hard. But, yeah, great. You know, I heard there was very good attendance. Brett had good weather. You know, Coos turned out well for him. I was trying to think. There were some shows out west. I don't remember the winners offhand. I know Smash It had a whole 6 days off.
Yeah,
they had to go to a show in Kentucky.
Yep.
Tim said everything went pretty good. They had like 50 cars, which I think is a pretty good turnout. Said Russ is feeling a little better. It's going to take some time, but. Things are sounding good there, so. And Chris
that's the best news
since last week's show. Just relax.
Shut up. Who are you? I haven't even seen you in 5 days because you don't keep my hours.
Nobody keeps your hours. There's one guy, and his name was Dracula.
Nobody. I'll take that as a compliment. All right. right, just checking to make sure we didn't miss anything. Everybody's still happy on Facebook so far, which is always good to see. Zach Ponzo joining us on the hotline, turning our attention now to the Mandan Team Derby, which is literally right around the corner. It's going to be Saturday, June the 10th at the Dakota Speedway Longspur Trail in Mandan. Ken Hoff's in charge of it, 701-391-6211, 701-391-6211. Crash Course going to be airing the pay-per-view. You can find the links to order derbynation.tv. Jump online, derbynation.tv. You can find the pay-per-view links. It's our first trip up there. We're looking forward to it, and I know Zach is anxious to get back up there because he is part of the defending champion quartet, man. You got a good team around you. How do the odds look for this year?
Well, hopefully they all work in our favor. Guys are all getting their cars done. Everything's looking good. So, you know, we always have good luck there. Hopefully our luck holds out and we can make a good appearance again.
The thing about the good appearance is you got to rely on a lot of luck up there. You know, the cars last year were built so insanely hard that it's the oddball part that's going to break and leave you exposed. You got a great group of builders and a great group of talent around you in terms of the equipment and what you guys are bringing. So your preparedness isn't in question, but now that the cars have been softened up a little bit, how does that change things?
It definitely changed the driving strategy around. I mean, you actually got to wheel the car now rather than just rely on parts that'll never break. Like you said, we got a great group of guys there. We can drive hard. We can kind of drive a little bit more soft to make the cars last. But I think we should do pretty good. I mean, you know, depending on the heat draws and everything, hopefully we can get a good heat draw and kind of get ourselves to the feature with something decent and make a run at it.
Did you get any preparation for this show out of the run at Blizzard Bash this year? You had a little bit of a detuned build for the limited weld rules there. And then Justin Anderson electing to make some changes to the rules for Mandan. Did it help you guys gauge anything, or are there so many wild cards in Demolition Derby that all that's really going to tell you is that you guys haven't really fallen off your horse?
Yeah, we're not really going to gain anything by it, I don't think. Like you said, there's so many wild cards. You know, we can get a random heat like our heat last year. We actually drew a heat with three cars, but I mean, them three guys, they came out swinging and they did a number on us. Actually, you know, they just came out and had nothing to lose, and you know they hurt all of our cars pretty bad. But that can happen again this year. You know, if we got a bad team draw, some team just wants to come out and swing. I mean, they can wreck stuff really fast too. So it with the limited weld cars, I mean, like I said, you got to wheel them a little bit more. But it should come down to driving again, I would say. We'll find out.
Zach, what type of build do you prefer? Do you like the limited weld style, or do you like, you know, the model?
I like the limited weld personally. I mean, something where, you know, we can run our engine protectors and stuff like that still, so the cars are, they don't fold up right away. But with the full welds, I mean, I think it takes so much driving out of it. You know, when you got a car with a bulletproof rear end and an engine cradle that holds the front end together and down and steering components that never ever break, well, it's easy to wheel a car then, because you can just get beat on all day long and nothing ever breaks. But when you're riding on stock spindles and, you know, more stock tie rods, steering boxes, stuff like that, well, then you got that option if something's going to break. And, you know, you got to drive around the wheel shots, stay out of the way of some things. And, you know, when you do use your car, you got to make a count and take cars out. So I prefer the limited weld more myself. But, I mean, I can drive both ways, though, too. Like, you know, we ran Blizzard Bash quite a few times when in the 80s mod where you can build a stout car and drive quite hard.
In terms of last year's comparison, you know, you talked about the cars getting hurt a little bit last year. How about the impound rules and what the premium is going to be on repair time this year, given that you have transitioned to this limited weld set of rules?
It's definitely going to come down to the pit crews. You know, we got a great group of guys coming with us, just drivers and guys that can fix. You know, sometimes there's a lot of damage to fix in a short amount of time. So that's where all the guys that help us in the pits and get the cars prepped and all that stuff, I mean, that's where they come into play. And, you know, without them, really, we couldn't get back out for the feature and make a good run at it. So a huge shout-out to all them guys. And just, like you said, the repair plates help a little bit and strategically placing them and everything. So derbies are won in the pits just as much as they're won in the ring, in my opinion.
Absolutely.
How about your nine-wire rules? What are you guys allowed in terms of trying to use that stuff after the heat's over with?
I honestly haven't even went over the repairs that much as far as what we can all fix there, but, you know, kind of look that over as a team, I'm sure, when we get there Friday night and, you know, do a little strategizing and stuff as far as what we're all going to do after the heats to get them fixed up. I mean, hopefully we go to the A main, but if we got to fix them up for the B main, I guess so be it.
You made reference to that three-man heat last year. We're going to be talking to one of the guys that's on a team with Sam Bando a little bit later on. He was on that team of three. We've seen Sam run with numbers against his favor and levy some pretty serious damage in that case. We never get anybody to actually say this on the air, but is there a team that you don't want to run into in the first round?
I mean, we got some friends out there and stuff, and a few times we've actually drawn really good friends of mine in the heat, and it really sucks. You know, you help each other out, you build the cars together, and kind of want to go out there and run in the future together ultimately. But
right,
you know, when you got to go against each other, you basically we just got to go out there and do our thing. And I mean, as long as we can drink beer and be friends afterwards, that's all that counts too. So,
is Sam's team one of your friends?
What's that?
Is Sam's team one of your friends?
They're not an enemy by any means. Like I say, but I see them here and there, and you know, we kind of talked a little bit after the heat draw last year, and it, like we said, I mean, it is what it is. We come there to advance to the main, and so did they. So
right,
we just had to. They definitely came out. Like I said, there was only three of them, but they had absolutely nothing to lose, and they drove accordingly. And I mean, they came out swinging. They didn't. It wasn't a fast heat by any means.
The crew that you're riding in with this year, it's got some successful lineage. You guys won last year. Ponzo joining Fetro, Dookie Scroach, and Shea Walden. And a lot of lineage and success at Mandan. Is there anything that you guys can attribute that to about the repeated success with the different iterations in the build?
I mean, it's just when you can run with people like that and you just know what they're doing before they do it half the time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think in any team show, you can just see which teams have been running together for a long time. Like, I mean, Shea and Duke basically started me in Demolition Derby, and they taught me pretty much everything that I know inside the car, how to build them, everything. And, you know, we've ran together for so many years, it's like we know exactly what each other's going to do before they even do it. And then we brought Zach Fetro on board, and, I mean, me and him clicked right away. We went out to May Mania last year with the two-man and did great out there. We watched out for each other and keep each other rolling and, I mean, just kind of got to do Zach things out there. So it works out pretty good for us.
I don't know what the best way to ask this. Is there anything left for them to teach you? Or to reword it, is there anything left for you to learn from Dookie and Shea after you've been around them so long?
I mean, the sport's progressing just about every single derby. It's progressing more and more. So, you know, we talk to each other quite frequently as far as kind of reading around the rules a little bit, rule changes, how we're going to do things different. For the most part, we can just kind of go out there and we don't even really have to talk about it. We just know what each other's going to do, like I said, and we just get after it.
Now, Zach, when you guys go to a team show, do you guys, like, you know, decide beforehand, okay, you know, I'm going to drive a little less aggressive, you know, so I might have more car left, or I'm going to be the guy that goes out there and just stands on it and junks them? I mean, do you guys break it down that far, or do you just kind of play, you know, and feed off what the opposing team does, or can you not, do you just kind of, you know, play the hand you're dealt?
I mean, we try and have a game plan going out, but more or less we play the hand we're dealt. You know, it's, you can go out some heats and right off the get-go, everyone's to the floor. Well, you gotta keep up with that pace or try and control it. I mean, or you can go out there and, you know, if you can kind of control it and slow everything down to run your show, you know, that has a lot to do with how the opposing team's driving, too.
Yep.
Interesting take on it. You got to run the pace, or you got to find a way to control it. And so you basically, by controlling it, you neutralize the threat, right?
Yep.
That's the way that I see it. Yeah. You know, like even with, like I said, like last year with Bando's team, when we only had three of them there, you know, we kind of went out, thought we were just going to swat them, and it was going to be done. But that wasn't the case at all. We had to, you know, change up the strategy, kind of mid heat, really, and just start holding them in the corner and slowing them down, even though we had one more car than them. They just kept moving. You know, they did what they had to do, and they kept moving. We couldn't hold them, and then we just ultimately, I ended up being the guy that sat there and held them the whole time, and Anderson tried to come out and yell at me the one time, but I just kind of turned my head and ignored him, and they got mad at me for it. But we just did what we had to do to advance the feature.
And I was just going to touch on that. You know, and that's what you do. I mean, I would assume that, you know, if you see a guy that's out there, you know, and he's just cleaning your teammates' clocks, I mean, you got to try to get a hold of him and get him pinned or get him slowed down or, you know, so your teammates can kind of build back up and get back after him. And we've kind of seen that, I think at Blizzard Bash a time or two, where, you know, there's some guys that have really been, you know, on the gas, and guys try to, you know, kind of, you know, separate them and try to get them, you know, on their own and calm them down.
With a team of three, I can see where the numbers can almost balance themselves, because with that one car missing, you've got that extra amount of real estate that's always going to be open. That team of three has four targets to hit, whereas team of four only has three targets to hit. And while you might have the opportunity to double team, you're still got one guy who's like, he's almost at a loss. What do I go hit? Because I've got three to pick from, and we got to neutralize them quick. And you've got to be selective. I mean, you've got to knock wheels, tires, axles out quick. And with the heavier build last year, it was a little bit harder to do that. Now things are lightened up a little bit, and you can definitely control the pace in a hurry just by knocking some wheels off.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, that's the thing out here. Now that a guy's got stock spindles out there, you can do a one shot takeout, and you can. A car without a spindle ain't gonna wheel worth a shit out there. So, I mean, that's one huge target that's gonna be out there this year compared to most years. You know, when you got like Joker spindles on there, well, them things are about bulletproof. So, it hardly even pays to hit them in the wheel.
That really kind of levels the playing field. I mean, that's a big change. You know, big deal going to that. So, it's gonna be a great show, man.
It should be a really good show, and the numbers are up compared to last year too. Last I heard, I think there's 12 teams signed up, and I mean, you look at the list, and it's 12 pretty solid teams. You know, there's really no terrible teams out there. It's like, oh, we hope we get them because it'll be easy. Well, there isn't a single team out there that's going to be easy to go against.
Now, can you run old iron and new iron, or is this just one or the other? Or?
What's that?
Can you run old iron and new iron out there and mix together, or is it just?
Yeah, you can run four old iron or four new or mix them together too.
That's cool.
There's no restrictions on round vacs or O3s and newer either. If I remember talking with Dustin correctly.
I'm pretty sure the O3s are still outlawed this year.
They are. Okay.
But as far as like wagons, I mean, you could have a team of four wagons out there if you wanted, or caddies for that matter. I mean, nobody would be foolish enough to have four Mopars out there, but you know anything else?
Wow! Now,
well, Zach, it was good talking with you.
These GM guys, man, they got no soul. They just jab a guy when he's down. That's terrible.
He slipped that in there too.
He planned it all day at work. He's like, you know what? I'm going to get them guys. That's great. Thanks, Zach. It was nice talking to you. We'll see you again someday, bud.
Yep, sounds great.
In terms of that car selection, I mean, I know you guys are going to lean towards GMs. Do you look at the shorter wheelbase stuff, or do you want to go the way of full size?
We just kind of run what we're comfortable with, to be honest. I mean, you know, in this sport, I think that it doesn't matter what car you drive; it's how you wheel it. Whether it's whether it's a wagon or a Cadillac or a new style Ford, I mean, you just drive them accordingly. I think, but
yeah, no doubt.
I can't really argue with that. You know, you start thinking about some of the drivers that are so bent on they got to have a 225, you know, and they're not getting sucked into the Cadillac craze, or, you know, the guys that build new iron, they don't want to talk about what the frame thicknesses were of the cars in the 70s because their new iron is going to hold up just fine and they're confident of it.
Yep.
Yep.
And I mean, that's kind of one thing we've seen.
Across the country, you know, there's some shows the wagons perform at, some shows the Fords do it. It just kind of depends on everything working for you and holding together that day.
Right.
Absolutely.
What were you going to say?
I was just kind of agreeing with what Zach was saying, that, you know, it's, you know, I mean, you got to have a little bit of luck and, you know, with what you're, you know, you go with what you feel comfortable with, basically.
Limited.
You know, some guys, you know, you'll never see it. Like, I'm going to go out on a limb and say you're never going to see Jason Brodzinski in a Buick 225 because he feels like he can junk everything in his Fords, and he usually does a pretty good job of it, you know. And, you know, some guys feel, you know, better in the old iron. Like, the Siopas, I don't think you'll see them bringing Fords to Blizzard Bash. I think you see them in old, you know, GM, old, you know, old iron GM. And it's got to go with, you know, what got you there, basically.
Right.
I mean, you know.
It's a true statement. Well, Zach, man, I sure wish you the best of luck. We're going to be out there probably midday on Friday. So we'll look for you in inspection, stop by and say hi, and then on Saturday we'll be looking forward to seeing you guys cut it loose.
Yeah, it should be a good time. We'll be in the Ramcota parking lot about dinner time, and we'll hang out there until the local authorities decide to tell us to leave again. So
That sounds fun.
Is that a regular thing?
Oh yeah, yeah. The parking lot party is probably just as fun, if not more fun, than the Derby itself. But last year got a little out of hand. I'll have to tell you that story when I see it.
Sounds like it's right up Chris Barker's alley.
Well, we look forward to hearing that story. You're meeting some of Mandan's finest on Friday.
That sounds like a plan.
Zach, man, good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you soon.
Yep, thank you. We'll see you guys.
Zach Ponzer.
Man, Mopar rib shot. That was bad.
That was good, wasn't it?
It was. Right in there, smooth as could be. Almost like he's done that before.
He slipped that thing in flawlessly. I liked it. We talked a little bit about it. Oh, before we do that, that wasn't good. It was a... two mistakes at one time. Never a good thing. Let me find the... there it is. There it is one more time. Mandan Team Show, Saturday, June the 10th. It's our first trip there. Pay-per-view is going to be online, DerbyNation.tv. You can find all the links there. Ken Hoff is in charge, 701-391-6211, 701-391-6211. Hit up Dustin Anderson if you've got rules-related questions. Blizzard Bash is another one that we referenced there. Blizzard Bash coming up with... Smashy Demolition Derby's in charge of that one, November 9th through the 13th at the Kansas Expo Center in Topeka, Kansas. Qualifying for the national and qualifying bracket teams is Thursday, November the 10th, 4 o'clock start time for that one. Friday is a double session where RC cars take command at 9 o'clock in the morning. 6 o'clock is the national and qualifying bracket team round two. 14 to 17-year-old youth also on the card for that Friday, the 11th program. 10 o'clock, compact limited weld team round one. On Saturday the 12th, 6 o'clock, is Power Wheels, all the team B mains, the Trucks, the Youth, and the Bone Stocks. And Championship Sunday is Sunday, November the 13th, 1 o'clock start, National Qualifying Limited Weld and Compact Team A mains on deck for that one. On the topic of Smash It Demolition Derbies, we talked about them earlier. They had their action out down in Kentucky June the 3rd. June the 10th this weekend, they're going to be at the Courthouse Crash in Fayette County Fairgrounds. That's in Washington Courthouse, Ohio. Street Stocks paying 5,000 win compacts and the combines on deck there. I saw it. Don't say anything. We're not done yet. June 24th, Stark County. I'm going to put the camera on you and you can gush about the compact. Stark County in Canton, Ohio is June the 24th. Smash It Leave Class. Mini cars, the full size, the compact trucks, the street stocks, the power wheels. That's all on June the 24th. The Pike County Fair in Piketon, Ohio. 5 o'clock start time on July the 1st. The Smash It Class, the minis, the street stocks, Smash It mowers, and the power wheels. And then taking us through the middle of July, July the 13th, that's Boyd County, Kentucky. Smash It, compact, street stocks, long stock mowers. That's lawn stock mowers. So they're finally defining whether they can be dumpsters or lawn mowers out there. Power wheels. Power wheels also on deck through July the 13th. And July the 13th makes a nice jumping off point for us to talk about this one. We're going to be talking to some of these guys next week. I talked to Dylan Lane over the weekend and talked to the Olsons over the weekend while we enjoyed a little bit of downtime on Sunday. Looking forward to getting out there and seeing those guys. Geneva, Nebraska is the home of the Midwest Smash Fest. Chad Bumgarner Show, 402-759-2583. That's 402-759-2583. Dylan Lane said he just got his car for that, so he'll be turning that on its side and doing all the welding that needs to be done. I'm not sure what that means. I didn't know you could weld that heavy, but hey, it's Nebraska. Do it Ohio style, right?
Who's his teammate?
You know, you had to ask that.
One of the guys off Black and White or something different?
I'm blanking. I'm completely blanking. Sorry. I had all that, and now it lost me. If he's listening now, I'm sure he'll message and let us know. Somebody out there knows. It was, I can't remember on it. There were so many teams on that list. You saw the episode where we did the heat draw show with those guys? All the names that were on the board, trying to keep track of them.
I don't remember.
Clemens are going to be there. Brent and Brenton's brother are coming down from Wisconsin to that one. It's going to be.
Kenny Roswell's got a pretty good teammate out there, too.
It's going to be a wild one. Going to be a lot of fun to watch. Payout for that one, $20,000 for the first place team, $125,000 guaranteed payout. $15,000, $13,000, $11,000, and $10,000 back through fifth. Jump on. If you go to Google and type in Midwest Smash Fest, it'll come right up. It's the Nebraska Figure 8N.com page, 1122, code word. I don't know. You'll find it. Just Google Midwest Smash Fest. It's the easiest advice I got for you. So now that I have successfully eliminated all of our under tabs accidentally, I don't know how that happens, but it just up and disappears. We're going to get the one and only Jeremy Guthmiller on the line. Hopefully.
If Chris doesn't miss dial.
I know. Last week I called Brenda's cell phone trying to get a hold of Dustin Anderson.
How'd that go?
Brenda didn't answer. It was right to voicemail. So apparently Brenda
Didn't want to talk to you?
Well, either that or she was busy. Flying J or something.
Cool. So you caught up from sleep from our trip to Ohio?
Have I caught on sleep from Ohio?
We came back from Ohio. And Tuesday we did the show here. Wednesday we had the Mud Boss race in Auburn. Thursday we did the crash course. Friday.
No, you didn't do crash course.
We did the final round from Empire Dragway. Friday I spent all afternoon on Amazon buying the stuff that we didn't have to do the event at Empire Dragway. Saturday we burned half of our firewood, and Sunday we made up for the last week. So I'm back to square one. I got about 5 hours of sleep last night.
You know, it's funny. We were coming home from – Chris and I obviously shared a room when we went to Bash for Cash, and Chris picked on me because I may have snored a little bit. But then we were coming home from Bash for Cash, and Chris assumed his normal position as the navigator. And I don't know. He made it probably 3-4 hours this time, and then he finally passed out. And the noises coming from the passenger seat were impressive. At least. So I'm pretty sure you and I are somewhere on the same score as far as snoring. Though yours was, you know, it was good. It was keeping me awake as we were coming home. So I just wanted to compliment you on that. And, you know, all is well.
I appreciate that. I try.
You did stop for a while, and I was wondering if you were dead. And if you were, how I was going to explain it when I got home, because I wasn't stopping.
Perhaps I just died, right?
Yeah, I wasn't stopping. I wanted to go home and try to get some sleep. So.
But joining us on the hotline, the one and only Jeremy Guthmiller. Joining us to hang out a little bit, to talk a little bit of trucks action. Jeremy, you know, appreciate you coming on the show.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
So tell us about the trucks out there in Mandan. It's a little bit of a different breed than what some of the guys out this way are accustomed to.
Yeah, they kind of changed it up this year, last year. I didn't run the teams last year, but you could put an MK member in a truck and stuff, and they're pretty tough. You know, Dixon Chris Geiger, they pretty much ran the same truck all year long, so it worked pretty good. This year they piped that, you can't do that no more. They piped them down a little bit, but they're still going to be pretty tough. You got way too much time in mine already, and I still ain't done, so it better work. And it better last more than one, too.
Right. So I understand that you've got the truck for Josh just about put together at this point?
No, that's Cody Miller is doing that.
Oh, okay. My mistake.
I'm going to hopefully get to help him a little bit this week, but we'll see how my stuff gets done here first. But, yeah, Cody Miller is one of the guys doing that, kind of the main guy. So I guess I haven't really seen how long they are yet or not. But
is it going to scare Josh too bad, or is it just going to be another run for the roses for him?
Well, the nice thing is Chris Johnson and those guys aren't coming, so it won't be as scary. I don't think they're running trucks this year, but yeah, they scared a lot of people the last couple of years. I think 2 years ago they rolled 3 or 4 trucks over in the heat. So
that's impressive.
They're pretty crazy. I got rolled over by them on the second show two years ago, pretty bad. I think I made the top. What's that rollover reel they have? The top 20 or top 25?
Mm-hmm.
I was on there. I much flipped the midair and landed on my roof. It was pretty fun.
What kind of truck are you building, Jeremy?
The frame and box is a 60. I think it's a 68 3/4 ton Dodge, and then I got a cabin front clip off like a 63 or 64.
Nice.
Is it all Mopar all the time over there in that shop?
Oh yeah. I don't own one Chevy part in the shop. So I got a. My good stuff is Chevy stuff, but when it comes to Derby, it's all Chrysler stuff.
What do you run for motor?
318. Thomas Motors built me a new one last year. Pretty nice 318.
Was that the same 318 that you had in the Murata?
No. That's an older one. I was supposed to have that one in my truck, but I broke the block and went 2 years ago in Blizzard Bash, and I haven't fixed it yet. That was basically stock bottom end with some 302 heads on it and little cam. This new one's pretty healthy.
Them 318s are a great running motor. They don't have the most power, but man, will those things run forever hot.
Yeah.
Yeah, this one, I like this one. A little more money than I wanted to stick into it because I'm a cheap guy, but I like it.
That's
I was happy.
That's the one. The one downside of running Mopar motors is if you want to start doing aftermarket stuff, it gets expensive quick. Because you know, not as many guys run them. But I mean, it's you know, performance wise, you know, they're actually a little ahead of Chevy. But guys, you know, Chevys are a little cheaper to build, so that's why the majority of guys run them. I mean, you know, they run decent, obviously, but you can make a Mopar run just as long, just as well, just as much horsepower, just cost more money.
All it takes is money, is that right?
Unfortunately, that's the way it is in all motorsports. All it takes is money. That'll get you there. Then you got to do a little bit of driving behind a wheel, but money is all it takes to get there.
Why the 318 versus like a 360?
I guess I've always had a 318. I know my motor guys, they're big Mopar guys, and they know a lot about Chrysler's, and they tried talking me into a 360, and I'm just, you know, I got a few 360s, but I've always had good luck with 318, and it's nothing better than saying, you have a 318 when they asked what you have in your car, and they don't believe you, so.
Right.
I guess I've always stuck with 318, and I got a million of them, so.
Yeah, well,
that was one of the reasons. You know, and then, you know, with Chrysler, you got different, you know, torque converter, you got a whole bunch of different stuff with 360, and it's just.
Right.
It's hard. Actually, the motor I'm running in my truck is a Ballard motor, and it's a 360, and I'm running a 3-speed in that, too, and it was hell. It took us 3 hours both connected to it. By the time we got the right bell housing, and it was a mess. But, and I haven't drove it yet, so it better work.
You know, you can unbalance some torque converters. All you got to do is knock that weight off. I've done that before. Pulled it together, and it works good.
I run 3-speed, so.
Oh.
So, yeah, I've done that before, too.
I'm not talented enough to run a 3-speed.
But you have to do that, because I've wrecked a tranny, not knowing that when I first started. She vibrated a little bit, you know, and. There's so many different bell housings and flywheels for 360 and on 318.
What do you run for a transmission? Is it out of a truck or out of a van?
I kind of whatever I get. I've got one out of a van before, and you know these older trucks have them too. And then some of the I got a 72 what the heck is it, a Satellite out back.
Yep.
That I didn't even know I had a 3 on the tree until. And then I bought the car just because it was cheap, and it's like bonus. It's got a 3-speed in it, and I didn't even know it.
Yeah.
Actually, that's what's going to go in my team car. I bought some three speeds from a guy in Wisconsin, and one of them, the one I got in my car now, what do they call it again? They're shifted easy. I can't think of it now, but it wants to grind when I go into gear, so I'm going to pull that out quick this week and change it, but.
Yeah, I did.
You can look at 3-speeds, though. They're a lot more fun and cheap.
Oh, yeah, definitely. They're a little more, they can handle a little more stress than the.
They're more forgiving?
Than the 727. they're 727s are, you know, they're a decent transmission, but the standards are definitely a little more, they can handle a little more abuse.
How do you feel about the 904s?
Honestly, I've never had an issue with one.
No?
Never. I've never burned up a 904.
Actually, all I used to run, and I never had one built. I've always ran stock, and, you know, get 3, 4, 5 runs on them, and, you know, they pick a crap on you. But I actually got me into 3-speed again here about 3, 4 years ago. Is I had a buddy build one, and he's an awesome tranny builder. And I had, you know, $400 into it, which was decent.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Had bad luck. I run a skinnier end, so both wheels are dragging on the leaf springs in the heat. And working the crap out of it, and I lost reverse. And then he put the clutches in it after that. You know, it wasn't his fault by any means. And took it to another derby and rough track, and I went about 2 feet in the air and landed full throttle, and something broke. And that's the last automatic I ran. I went $450 into it in 2 runs. So, and no more tranny fluid, no more ice. I like these 3-speeds.
Yep. Oh, yeah, I definitely agree. I mean, that's, you know, I've talked to some of the guys that run the bigger horsepower motors and, you know, GM motors, and that's what I've said, you know, because I know a lot of guys that have had tranny trouble, and I'm like, well, you know, you get to something, obviously, with big horsepower, and, you know, you're almost better off with the standard because, you're, you know, it can handle the abuse. But I think that the standard is a pretty good idea running in derbies. I just, I mean, you got to, you know, it's something you obviously got to get used to, and, you know, if you can get it down, I definitely think you can have an advantage over the rest of the guys.
It definitely takes practice. I know, first couple times I was pushed in the dirt in about 30 seconds before I even got the clutch out because I didn't know which pedal to push. I was coming at me full bore.
Yeah,
it was quite embarrassing.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And then if you lose your back brakes, you're kind of screwed too, because you can't shift, until you're stopped.
Yep.
So, which I've never had that trouble, but, that's another bad thing about it is you can't, power shift it.
No, that's one thing they don't do.
Stops.
Power shifting. It's always fun to watch.
Yeah, you got way more power, too. I just love it. You dump the clutch and you're tipping somebody over, about 5 feet, which is kind of nice. But
have you ever burned up a clutch in one? In one of your three speeds?
I've actually only run stock clutches, but, I ran a pickup in Manion a couple years ago, and I didn't have time to do tires, so I had some big tires on there and 373s, and yeah, she fried the clutch a little bit. I had to pump the clutch at such high RPM, it was just burning the crap out of the clutch, and that's the only trouble I've had. I guess the other trouble I've had is when I first started running them again, I didn't have a stop on my clutch pedal.
Okay.
And I don't know if you're familiar with those, they don't make a throw-out bearing, a hydraulic throw-out bearing for a Kaiser, so you got to put the shed one on there.
Yep.
And if you don't take that snap ring off, it catches on the ears.
Okay.
So you got to take the snap ring off. Well, I was going head-on with a guy, and my foot was on the clutch when I hit him. So I pushed it over, extended the throw-out bearing, and come off the O-ring, and it stuck open. So I guess that's the only trouble I've had. I broke a tail shaft or two here and there, but as far as clutch-wise, I haven't really had any troubles.
So you said you had to put a stop on the clutch pedal?
Yeah, because, like I say, there's no snap ring. And it would have probably broke that snap ring off anyway. But there's a snap ring that stops that throw-out bearing from going too far.
Uh-huh.
And, with that snap ring on there, it would catch on the ears on the clutch, on the pressure plate sometimes. And, it never happened to me, but it happened to a buddy, so we kind of figured that out. So we took the snap ring off. So there's nothing stopping that throw-out bearing from going too far. So when we went head-on, my foot was on the clutch, so it pushed way too hard and come off. The O-ring went past where it was supposed to be.
Right.
And it's held the pressure plate, open, so I was done.
I never thought about that with the guys that are running those standard transmissions. Is you got to remember to, how tough is that on your ankle? Because not only do you have to put a stop on there so that you don't go past that certain threshold so that you do damage the clutch on it, but if you don't remember to engage the clutch every time, theoretically you'll stall after every hit, right?
Oh, yeah. You got to have it in all the time.
So how rough is that on your left ankle?
Well, this is my first. I just got a new setup for me. It was new style. I got one of his old style, and it felt pushing that clutch in. There's not much leverage on the older style, and this new one I can push with my hand, so it's going to be a lot easier. In the ring, it wasn't bad. I mean, you don't think about it, but when you're trying to back it in the shop, or I drove mine through a parade one time, and I didn't make it. Two blocks, and my foot was about ready to fall off.
Right.
But new setup, new setup is really good. You can push with your hand. So,
The other thing with that is you've got to. That's a whole different ball game. You're not necessarily on the brake hard, and if you are on the brake hard, it's not going to necessarily do anything. You're not going to do the same amount of internal damage as when your foot's on the clutch, but your left foot isn't doing as much, so your muscle memory is going to be different once you get acclimated to using that, and then to not have the stop on there, it's a completely different game. It's an element I never thought. Maybe there's other people out there that are driven them that are giving thought to this, but it kind of caught me off guard tonight. Not even
And I guess I've never really paid attention to other people's setups, but eventually I'd like to get to the slave cylinder on the outside of the bell housing. My plan was this winter I was going to build my own bell housings and, have a slave cylinder on the outside. That way, if it took a crap on you could fix it. If this takes crap on me, I got to pull the tranny back and, it's a lot more work.
Right.
And it's kind of amazing that little throw-out bearing, that's just two little O-rings in there. That's all that holds that oil in there. So it's kind of scary. I've never had trouble other than that one time, but it's going to the back of your head,
Sure. What are you expecting this weekend in the trucks over there, Mandan?
I guess I haven't really. Well, I kind of read through the list. There's some younger guys that can build a truck. I know Dixon was signed up. I think he backed out, but Toronto's got a truck. There'll be some good trucks there. I think they're talking 10 to 15, probably for sure.
Awesome.
It should be pretty good.
Is Muse coming out to run?
What's that?
Is Muse coming out to run?
I think they're bringing. No, I don't think he's running pickups. They're. I think they're bringing some Herbie, Team Herbie cars, I think.
Yeah, I know. I thought I talked to him at Bash, and I couldn't remember. He mentioned Mandan, but I couldn't remember what he was running. And I know he runs everything throughout the year, so I couldn't remember what he said.
It was the teams, you know, and I think they were signed up, Dixon and Muse again. And since they switched to singles, I think they kind of backed out of that. And then one of the main reasons I was going to bring a truck is the next day there was supposed to be one in Center, but they they canceled the pickups for there, so. Hoping to get two runs in 2 days, you know.
Yeah, just in case you weren't concussed the first time, not going to the park.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well,
pickups are fun. When you hit back to back, they don't feel so good, but other than that, they're pretty fun. I like them.
We're looking forward to it. I mean, trucks up in that upper Midwest, every time we go up there, they never disappoint. The first year at Winter Slam, it was eye-opening when they turned out to be Sherman tanks, and then everything sort of backed off a little bit, and they've been awesome ever since, watching that truck division at Crossroads, at Winter Slam, and up in Wadena, and seeing those trucks come to Blizzard Bash, which were a little bit heavier, I think, than what we're going to see up there. But nonetheless, it's going to be an awesome feature watching those guys go through in the truck division.
Big track, and it's very, very fast. But the problem is, I'm running a car too in the team, so. Sometimes I can really get out of my pickup when I'm done, and then you have to get back in the car and get beat up again. So, pray to God if we make the future that I don't have a crap load to do in my car because I'll be in the pickup, you know?
Right.
But
go big or go home. Absolutely. if you're gonna break your back, you might better do it in one day, right?
That's right.
Jeremy, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us for a little while. Good luck this weekend. We're gonna be up there Friday. We look forward to catching up with you.
Sounds good. Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Yeah, bye.
There goes Jeremy Guth Miller. Going to be getting a truck together for up there in Mandan. I'll tell you about a couple more events that we've got coming up. Oh, that's not the right one. We should go there. There we go. And Stern Dirt Racing. They've got some action coming up here in just about 2 months. Upcoming events for them, July 20th and 29th, the Wasatch Wipeout in Heber City, Utah. It's a two-day event, $84,000 being paid out for that one. There is only about 10 spots left for that show. So if you want to get in on that one, you better act fast. And on September the 9th, there's West Jordan Beatdown. That's all trucks, only trucks. West Jordan, Utah is the home for that one. $30,000 purse, iron trucks, farm trucks, passenger derby. The order of the day on September the 9th for the West Jordan Beatdown. A week later is the Day of Reckoning. That's the all-new facility at the Utah State Fair in Salt Lake City. Stern Dirt going to be invading that one. And then October the 7th, we're going to be back out in Utah for the third time of 2017 for Halloween Havoc. It's Run What You Brung. It's the pit party. Awesome show. If you want more details, jump online, www.sterndirtracing.com. Spinning Wheels Productions. Their schedule continuing to be full. When we get back from Mandan, we're going to have a couple days off before we head back to Morris, New York, to be part of the Otsego County Fairgrounds Spring Fling, working with Jeremy Gully, Spinning Wheels Production. Limited Welds are paying $1,200 to win. Economy V8s, Economy Compacts, and Trucks. Going to be a busy afternoon over there on Father's Day weekend. August 3rd and 6th is going to be the Otsego County Fair, Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris. Got the date correct on that one. Anthony Wall giving the assist on that. August the 4th is the Wayne County Fair. It's the Wayne County Fairgrounds in Honesdale, Pennsylvania. Then GDS Fair August the 25th in Newfoundland, Pennsylvania. That's the GDS Fairgrounds. And the season's going to round out with a San Filippo smash at the Otsego County Fairgrounds in Morris. Again, three events in Morris. They're all going to be awesome. It's going to be a fun one. September the 30th, that date changed a little bit. Initially, that was going to be that first weekend in October. Jeremy's got a wedding, so look for that date to change back into October in 2018 once we get past that. I saw a little note online that the mod class is officially $1,500 to win for Waterloo on Saturday the 22nd and $500 to win the figure eight race on Thursday. Earlier in the week, Frank Van Houten ended up sharing that. Frank Van Houten trying to get his car done. He's not sure if he's going to make it. Tim Ellison also saying he's trying to get a car done. Not sure if he's going to make it. So a lot of guys that mod class has got their interest. But Seneca County and Waterloo mod class and Mandan, mod class at Blizzard Bash or Bash for Cash. Depends on where you're standing. it's not apples to apples.
Ben came up with a really good set of rules for Waterloo.
I'm not taking anything away from it. I'm just saying.
That's the thing. I mean, we've, you know, guys around here, you know, they're kind of getting their toes wet and get into it. I mean, you know, obviously Cody Riley, Matt Gaskin Jr., those guys went out and they ran. Brett ran this year. He got a Mad Dog out there. I can't think of his name. 90.
David Early.
Got a Mad Dog out there.
Chris Brogan.
Yep. There's some more guys.
Donnie Hartzell.
Yep. Donnie Hartzell's out there. Yeah, there's a lot of guys. But, I mean, it's good, you know, that they're local guys, you know, from this our area, mm-hmm. you know, are getting into it. You know, there's interest. And, you know, hopefully they can, you know, get their stuff together. And I hope it's a great show. I mean, the first modified show they had there was amazing. It would be great if they caught that fire in a bottle again. But
I'm not sure that'll happen.
But hopefully it's going to be a good show.
I didn't mean to hang you out on the yawn there.
No, you're fine. You're fine.
I couldn't get back.
I'm still trying to catch up from sleep, I think.
Yeah? Think so?
Yeah.
Still laboring a little?
Yeah. No, I didn't sleep well last night for some reason. Probably having to go to work this morning after having a day off.
Sorry to hear that. I thought you were still trying to catch up from last week.
No.
You'll find that life gets a lot easier when you give up on sleep and just find ways to stay up. Eventually, your body acclimates.
Yeah, you're a few years behind me, though. I could still do it when I was your age, but...
I had a student at school. Are you familiar at all with the band Flogging Molly?
No.
Okay. Well, they were around when I was in college, and I saw them 20-some times. I love the band. Their bassist is from Rochester, which is close by here. One of the students walked by wearing a Flogging Molly shirt at school last week. And I said, hey, nice shirt, Flogging Molly. Where'd you get that from? And they said, they were in concert last week. And I'm like, oh, I didn't realize it. Like, you didn't even know who Flogging Molly is. You're, like, old. And I'm like, are you kidding? Like, get to class before you're late.
you didn't realize you're old, did you, Chris?
Oh, I knew it. Just didn't need to be reminded of it. Anyway. People that are much younger and much more talented than me, comprising the team of Off Constantly, Rob Golden, joining us tonight to talk a little bit about their foray back into Mandan. Rob, man, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're doing okay. How's everything coming with the car and with the team?
Team's doing all right. I think my car is 90% done. Just kind of sweating. It's been a little hot. It's a little hot out here to work on a car.
We haven't had that problem here. It's been raining for 6 months.
I go with the younger. I'm much older than all you, probably. I wouldn't go with the younger either.
I'm trying to compliment you.
I know. Well, I appreciate that. By the way, I'm looking for the camera trucks, the Crash Course camera trucks. When are those showing up?
They should be showing up Thursday night.
Oh, I mean at my house. I thought we were going to do this live tape thing.
That was Josh's grand plans, and Josh came up with that idea. And then told me to make it happen, and I ran out of time in the week. Otherwise, I should have been touching down and should have got to your house on Tuesday, I suppose, right?
Yeah, that would have worked out better. big punch hand into Decker.
Yeah.
Anybody that's friends with Sam has one coming anyways.
That's terrific.
Rob's running with Sam Bando, Anthony Jackson, and...
Adam Hoffbeck.
Yes. And you guys are out there. Reputation coming with you as being hammers, not necessarily going out there to win. To win the feature as much as you guys are out there to just make junk.
Well, it takes a lot to beat Off Constantly.
Yep, and there it is.
That's awesome. That's great.
I mean, truly, it does. I mean, I could light a candle and tell you about it, but realistically, we're not going to be a team that's going to lay over to anybody.
No, we don't. We don't expect that coming out of that team. We know the yellow and black colors are traditionally pretty hard. We've seen Anthony Jackson flying those a bunch of different times coming out of Canada. You guys, do you go in with a game plan of you know, we're going to try and save this car and have this guy be the hammer? Or is strategy not really something that you guys plan ahead on?
Well, I think strategy is important, but it's always kind of weird. When Sam and I have run together in the past, we've run extremely hard. Mm-hmm. I've never really run with Anthony. When Adam runs with me, Adam can drive with the best of them. I've watched him drive big shows, almost win mayhem, run big, 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 you know, he can take his time, do his thing. But when he runs with me consistently, he runs hard too.
Right.
I just kind of got a feeling that all of us are going to get, you know, we're going to try it out. We're going to see how it goes for a while. Probably pace ourselves maybe for a little bit, just see what the pace is. But, I mean, it doesn't take much to get me going and turned around and just blowing full track shots.
That's what I like to hear. That's always a bonus.
You talked about feeling out the pace. Is it easier in a team format, notwithstanding experience together? Because I know you've got a little bit of a new quartet coming together for this year. Is it easier to be the pace setter than the team that's trying to control the pace?
Yeah, I kind of, honestly, with our team, I really don't think we are follow the pace type of guys. I think we're usually the pace setters. Individually, we've always been that guy. We've always been 100% the pace setters. But I think as a team, as the old Mandan menage a trois, as you might call it, we'll probably set the pace. I would assume that's our goal.
That's terrific.
Follow up? Anything?
Terrific. Terrific.
Follow up.
Well, Brian was just laughing over there, and I was giving him the chance to follow
Mandan
up on
menage a trois. Chris, I see a shirt in there. Somewhere,
yeah,
I see a shirt in there somewhere. I don't know exactly how you're going to do it, but I see a shirt in there.
I don't know how I would pull that off either. I know Josh Scott's probably feverishly
with the beat off constantly at the Mandan menage a trois.
Yeah, I got it. I got it the first time through.
That's something you can work on tomorrow in study hall, Chris.
Yeah, that'll go over well. Nothing beats being surrounded by a bunch of freshmen and sophomores working on a shirt that said beating off constantly in menage a trois. Perfect. That's advice to live by.
You'd be the coolest guy in my
North
Midlands.
Dakota, no big deal.
Yeah, I'd be the coolest guy that was fired yesterday, that's for sure.
Yeah. Jobs are overrated.
Yeah. That I've come to notice. Oh, well, I mean, I don't even know where to go with this. Completely thrown off.
Rob, what if you don't mind divulging, what mix of cars you have yet? You guys have all four new iron, all four old iron, one of each, three of each. What? How's it broke up among the teammates?
Well, I'm Anthony Jackson has never hit anything. He has 40 things on Facebook about his car, so I think you already know what that is. I think Sam, you know, he says. You going to tell what the cars are? I said, I don't know. He says, go ahead. So he's running a Rivi.
Yep.
Real quick, he's running a Rivi. And then Adam and I are running new style Fords.
Cool.
Earlier today, Rob asked the group chat that he's in where he builds cars, says, what should I tell these fools?
It's just us. Not many people listen. It's cool. Nobody's going to know.
It's fine. It's fine.
Yeah, you're just talking to Chris tonight. It's no big deal.
Yeah.
I was referring to Decker.
No, oh, I don't. Well. I don't think you were.
That's cool.
Anybody that knows me knows. I'll talk to whoever will listen.
Yeah.
When are you guys getting in?
Oh man. Well, that's a really good question. I would say that my car, I hope, should be done, you know, Friday afternoon, so we can leave probably around 2 or 3, maybe earlier. I'm hoping to get in by, I don't know, 6 or 7, 8 o'clock Friday night. I assume Adam will be closely behind. Anthony Jackson, he'll probably be there, I don't know, probably tomorrow, who knows.
Right.
And Sam, he'll probably be, I don't know, Sam will roll in about Saturday at 2, I bet.
Yeah, that sounds like Bando.
Yeah, so you guys basically, you're going to get there sometime before inspection closes.
Yeah, and honestly, for me, I thought about it, you know, they're inspecting some on Friday, inspecting some on Saturday. I would really rather just inspect as a team. You know, part of the team thing is acting like a team, and I want to be together with those guys when we get inspected.
Sure.
Probably cut with them. Hopefully we have enough four torches so we can all cut at the same time. I don't know how to look, but that's what it's going to be like.
That's awesome.
That is one of the challenges of being a team. If everybody interpreted the rule the same way, that means that all four cars are going to have to cut the same way.
Mm-hmm. But if four guys look at
the rule, our cars are vastly different, but I would assume that we have some similarities and we have some ideas we're throwing around, but, you know, I don't know. I think the one you got to look out for is Adam. He's crazy. He's got ideas. I don't have as many ideas. I'm trying to get the car done.
Rob, I mean, honestly, like we said, you're just talking to us. It's not even like anybody's listening. Have you actually started your car yet?
Yeah, Yeah, for real, it's 90% done. Huh?
Okay.
you were on the group chat. You seen a video of it? It's almost done.
There was no date or time on that video. That could have been from a couple years ago. Who knows?
Well, didn't you see my sweaty palms from next to the camera? It was like hot as hell.
Why is it you guys are getting all the nice weather? We've had thunderstorms and rain and overcast for a while now. Now, don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. Saturday, I'm perfectly fine with dry and hot. All the technology is going to be hanging out over the edge of those bleachers. I'd be perfectly fine with dry and hot. But wouldn't if you want to trade a little bit and get some of this cooler weather and rain, we'll welcome the trade.
Well, I'm telling you, it's nice for building when it was cool. I mean, the problem with it was here was it was cool. It was, went from like 60 to 65, then freaking 95, and it just was the shock.
Right. That's no fun.
Yeah, that's miserable.
There's no fun building derby cars when it's 95. None.
Yeah. Just ask your dad, right?
Yeah. Something like that. Something like that.
Those welders. Makes it awful hot underneath those cars.
It does. Someday I'm going to own a welder.
What's that?
I said someday I'll own a welder.
Right now you just got your dad. Mm-hmm. The show right now, it's shaping up to be a good one. Is there anything not to beat the point, because I know that we've already talked a little bit about you guys wanting to set the pace. But is there anything that we should expect out of the team in the first round this year, given that the pace could change a little bit and the expectations are a little bit different with the lighter build now?
Yeah, I'm not really knowing what's going to happen. I just said prepare everybody to prepare that came with us to. And a lot of time and a lot of creativity fixing these cars. I think it's going to come down to fixing the cars.
Yeah.
I think whether A main or B main, if you can go in with four cars, you got the best chance.
Sure.
Unfortunately for us, I feel like, especially myself, speaking for myself and a couple other guys, we're going to have to work extremely hard fixing our cars and stuff because we do have a tendency to turn pretty quick. So that's not the case. But we'll see how it goes, and like I said, it's going to come down to how you can fix your car. That's where I see it.
You know, you could always put a stop behind the gas pedal so you can only get like half to three-quarter throttle. I mean, that would help out some.
Yeah, well, you know, part of driving not as aggressive and getting away with it is making a lot of noise too, so that's also a tendency that we can follow if we need to.
Good call. That's very true. That's very true.
A lot of donuts, a lot of throttle.
Yep. I might have used that tactic once or twice.
Man, just hearing that, and Sam made a hit afterwards. So don't take this as me picking on Bando because of it. He threw an Imperial, 67 Imperial, into a late model turn when he started carrying the left front just turned and burned and tattooed somebody. I think it might have been
Anthony Jackson, to be honest with you. Because I think it was the last year they ran Imperials, and I think Anthony had come down, and I think it might have been.
I'm talking about the hit at Crossroads.
I think it might have been Anthony because it was the last year they ran Imperials, and there was like five or six on the track, and it ended with two of them parked next to each other, and Bandow just bowled those in both of them, and I think the one on the outside was Anthony Jackson. Yeah, but you have to talk to him this weekend, but. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Whoever he hit was on the passenger side window so far. They could have shook hands and introduced themselves.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was he drove them. It was crazy. But, I mean, you know, like you mentioned, I mean, we talked about it. You know, those guys out there, everybody drives hard. I mean, there's no taking it easy. Everybody drives hard. So it's going to be a great show to watch. I mean, it's going to be a lot of action, a lot of fast pace.
It's going to be definitely going to be a fun one. We need that one right there. There we go. And Rob, man, I appreciate you coming on the show and hanging out with us for a little bit. I can't believe we went through the hour that fast already. We gotta get out of here for this one. Hopefully the rest of the build goes well. And, of course, you and the rest of the team, we wish you the best of luck coming up this weekend in Mandan.
All right, real quick, I got to mention my motor builder, though.
Do it.
Absolutely.
Triple H Motorsports builds my motors. I always make some key, big-time motors for me. I also got to mention East Central Sports. He's a sponsor. And I think you guys might be throwing stickers on the car, so that's cool.
Yep.
And then thanks to my teammates for joining this venture with us. And of course, Triple X, which is me,
yep,
also paying for it. So it's going to be a fun time. Looking forward to seeing you guys.
We'll be seeing you in a matter of days, and hopefully we'll see you before the sun goes down Friday afternoon. That means everything went well this week.
Thank you, sir.
See you later, Rob.
Have a good one.
Rob Golden, once again, Mandans this Saturday. Jump online, DerbyNation.tv is where you can find all the information to check it out online. That's going to do it for us here from the FingerLakes1.com studios in the North Park building here at Academy Square in Seneca Falls. We'll see everybody on Saturday for Mandan.
The Crash Course Live is presented by
Smash It Demolition Derby, who hosts Bash for Cash, Blizzard Bash, and Capital City Carnage, online at smashitderby.com. And Stirring Dirt Racing, host of May Mania's team show at the Golden Spike Arena in Ogden, Utah, online at stirringdirtracing.com. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel and Derby Inc. Magazine.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.